Good afternoon, good evening, good morning. It's four before and time for the Proctor Bergman Report with Philip Proctor as Fred Flam and Peter Bergman as Clark Cable. Now, from the Channel 85 newsroom, here's them.
This is Fred Flam, and today we're proud to have in our studio, on the ceiling with us, the head of the Man in Space Pogrom for the National Space Agency, Commander Chuck Rock Gorgo. Chuck, what are you doing on the ceiling?
Roger. Well, Wilco.
Oh, Fred.
Fred, well, I just got back from 3 months, or 3 years, I'm not, 3 minutes, I'm not sure, out there in outer space in a tin can. And, well, I haven't fully adjusted Earthside yet, that space lingo.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I'm a little nervous, too. You guys are making me a little dizzy down there. I wonder if you could just lean over against the wall, like 45-degree angle, and pretend you're sleeping.
Like this?
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. I wonder also if I could trouble you for a tube of water and a straw.
Well, we have some powdered coffee here, but I don't know how to get it up to you. Do you want me to throw it up, Chuck?
Oh, no, never mind. I just lost my appetite.
Well, anyway, we understand that you're here today to tell us about the exciting Man in Space pogroms now in operation all over the country, and under it, I might add.
Yes, you might, Red, and you'd be right, because might is right. Excuse me, I just got a little army talk there. Anyways, you know, we recently have suffered some serious and rather drastic cutbacks in the funding of the Spaceman program due to the lack of money.
Oh, yes.
As a result, we've had to do the best we can to simulate the possible activities of man in space.
Well, could you elaborate on that?
Well, certainly I can. I think some of these simulations are real cute, Fred. First of all, I know you've seen it. There's the Martian survival simulation going on out there in Burbank.
Oh, yes.
That's a guy in the rubber suit and the rose-colored glasses, right, and the gas mask.
Yeah.
He's been fenced into that big sandbox for several months. And I think the hardest part of the job for him, well, he claims anyway, is when he talks to anybody, is having to suck on dry ice for water. And, of course, those sandwiches made entirely out of sand, well, he's still at it.
Well, what about the guy in the pit?
Oh, yes, that's an interesting experiment. That's to simulate the conditions on Jupiter. Now, he's been down there, and he's a friend of mine. He's been down there about 400 feet in that sealed pit filled with automobile exhaust and colored Christmas tree lights. Now, we don't know how well he's doing because we haven't heard from him for several days now.
Well, our time, too, is almost up, but I do want to thank you, Commander, for these insights into the manner in which our unique interspace programs are carried on in spite of seeming insurmountable indifference and abject poverty on the part of the American people. Thank you, Space Pioneer.
What?
Don't get up. Don't get up.
This is Heat. I'm John Huckenberry. We're talking about science. We're talking about the edge of the universe, and we're talking about the edge of the universe as viewed by the Hubble telescope. Problems of science and problems of politics in the scientific community. With me to discuss all of these things and any of these things is celestial mechanic Dr. Peter Savat from the Milo Caldicott Institute for Firmament Studies in Sandusky, Ohio.
Sandusky, thank you.
Sandusky, excuse me. Quasi-module subatomic research comrade Adam Adamski from Moscow University in Moscow.
Здравствуйте, товарищи.
Claudette Estrelle, a space scientist from France.
Enchanté.
Dr. Bob Miller, chief scientist for deep space studies at the Donald J. Hasbro Research Institute, devoted exclusively to the study of deep space in Marin County, California. Dr. Miller?
Right on, John.
And Sir Henry Hearn, of course, is here, phenomenal research investigator at the Royal Academy of Cosmology at Cambridge, and also German rocket scientist who we haven't heard too much from, Herr Paperclip.
Yeah, well, I'm here now, and I'd like to take a second here, if I could, John.
Please.
To kind of set...
The Second World War.
Yeah, kind of setting this a little straight, you know. We got a lot of cuckoo talk here. Basically, you know, the problem that we're facing with the whole Hubble trouble is that it's basically being run by humans. And down here at Hasbro, of course, a human really doesn't mean a person like my secretary, although she has been replaced by a Cray. The human really is an acronym here, which I think more perfectly describes what we've got going on here. Human stands for heuristically unpredictable, manually articulated neuroware. And that's what we have here with these so-called, it's the humans that has caused the problem. The reason you have the aberration in the mirror of the Hubble is you've got Americans trying to make mirrors. They haven't made a good camera since the Snap Kodak. They should have come to the Germans or the Japanese, and you wouldn't have these little bubbles and cracks.
That's right, sure. That's right. That's what we always hear in all the conventions and everything. They're trying to sell us their cameras and things, you know. And we've bought your stuff, you know. Buy some of ours, you know.
We gave you the rockets. We taught you how to get that big piece of glass up there.
We invented the rockets. It was Belyaskovsk. Invented the rockets in the 16th century.
Belyaskovsk?
Belyaskovsk. It was in those days there were more letters in the Russian language. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're going to hear all about the cabbage gas theory of rocketry. This is going to be great. Go ahead, Adamski.
We no longer say that we invent everything. Okay, I want to say that with glasnost, perestroika, we can speak frankly from one another. We don't say, for instance, that we. Well, we invented, for instance, the cereal with little people shapes, which was not invented by the Russians. As it says in the books, in history books, it was invented by Russians. Milk was not invented for a century later, so this breakfast cereal was worthless, we were told as children. But this was later, we understand, a lie. But we do know that, for instance, the automobile was invented by Vladimir Yaitsov in Minsk in 1957. This is a proven fact. We also know that the egg codler, do you call it this, codler, was invented by Empress Nina in the great Soviet silent film They Forgot Their Way Home in 1918. All right? But as for this rocket nonsense from the Germans, no. They only were able to make the ones that went up and came down. This, I don't think, is to be proud of.
Well, to get away from the nationalism here, and I appreciate all the sentiments
expressed.
About
time, I think, John.
Let's talk science. I'd like to thread back to what Dr. Miller brought up at the beginning of the hour, and which Dr. Savat picked up on a little later, and that is that there is a funhouse view of the universe, that there is a funhouse image of the universe that maybe Hubble is prepared to take a look at.
Yes.
What does that consist of?
Let me take a crack at that before Peter gets on.
We've talked about this before.
Yeah, because Peter is certainly an eloquent advocate of this theory, and
thanks,
I just want
Bob.
To fill in a couple of things that we found here at Hasbro. When Einstein began to talk about approaching the speed of light, you began to see around the corners of buildings. It's just a wild supposition because, of course, it's difficult, even with the kind of cars that General Motors is trying to turn out today, to approach the speed of light in a vehicle. But when you bend light through an aberrational telescope, you begin to see around the corners of the corners,
right,
as we say. You're really, in a sense, seeing the future. And the future is us. Another neo-Borism. Yes, is actually us, meaning U.S. There's nationalism just raising its ugly head again. Peter, why don't you take it from here? Because you're really the doyen of this theory.
Thanks, Bob. Let me explain it this way. A nuclear accelerator, for instance, can be explained in much more simplistic kind of humanistic funhouse terms and can be understood by...
Do you have yours with you, Bob? Do you have that little toy with you?
It's not mine. It's not mine. It belongs to Adamski. It's another one of his demonstrations. I don't know if we should really... I'll be glad to show it to you.
We're not going to irradiate the...
Adam, okay? Later.
Well,
okay.
He's starting to set it up now, I think.
Just be a second.
Continue
Why
your
did you
thought.
Mention that? All right.
Well,
anyway,
it's such fun, and the lights stay in your eyes for
You really
days.
Shouldn't have mentioned that, Bob. Anyway, when we were at that tremendous convention up in Leningrad...
What a weekend.
What a weekend. The thing that amused us most was that the Finnish guys, scientists, who would come over the border because the bars closed earlier in Finland to tank up before they went back across the border again. Well, they'd get tanked up themselves. They'd get a glow on, if you understand what I'm speaking
glow
now
on.
In particle
mm-hmm,
term.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they would then get into their cars, and all of the Russians and us, because they would stand out in front of the bars watching with their drinks in their hand. We said, what are they doing? And these Finns would get into their cars and try to drive back across the border. And, of course, they were blitzed, see? So they'd run into one another, but they're very happy people.
And
they, just like funhouse cars, you know, they would bang and bang and bang. Now, just like the atom accelerator, it suddenly occurred to Bob and me as we're standing there. Look, Bob, they're bumping into one another at incredible speeds. Little pieces of things are falling out. These are like, this is the example of like smashing your atoms together. What flies out? This gives us some nature of the understanding of what holds the universe together. The particles make up the atom.
And
furthermore,
in fact,
Bob, if you remember when they get out and start fighting, we'd find little teeth and little coins and things. Each one of these gave us a clue to the character of the person. You see?
Just like the splinters of photons that remain within the software field of an aberrational lens.
Right, exactly. This is very true. It's true in French, too, because if you kiss somebody very deeply, you, in a way, are sharing a very essential nature of the universe. Plus, of course, if you go further than that, you are recreating the universe in yourself and your partner. Yes. Uh-huh.
Well, you can count on Estrella to bring it down to earth.
Yeah, science isn't all that complicated. We think it should now be made more. Hawkins has done a fine job, even without a voice, of expressing the wonders of
Stephen Hawking. Is that what you're saying?
Hawking's. Yeah. I'm jealous of him. Hawking's.
Well,
okay.
He's done an awfully good job, and he's also done something that we really respect here at Cambridge.
Wish I would.
He's made a pot of money doing it. Just a pot of money. Spielberg is making a film of that book, that rather dense piece of sophomoric
atheism. Black hole in literature,
is being turned into a film with this guy Kevin Costner playing. It's just really quite.
All right, it's ready. I'm ready to do the experiment.
Oh,
now be careful! Be careful!
All right, now what exactly is going on here?
Get this set up over there. Okay, I'm going to show you also a very nice after Glasnost now style nuclear accelerator. We are selling these now. I'm here in New York to sell these.
Okay,
I put over there a little like an accelerator sender. Over here, another sender. They are going to be shooting these invisible atom particles, which will meet about where you are sitting.
I'm only wearing a T-shirt, Professor. I mean,
that's all right. You can get behind this lead shield. Oh, I only brought one.
Shield is free.
All right. Look, just turn your face away, and now I'm going to press this little
Open your mouth because
button.
Of the pressure. That should do it.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Okay, the power is building. Don't look. Keep your eyes closed. Look at this, boy. Building good. Here we go. And now,
I can feel it.
Yes. Any second. It was your water glass, was it? John, you okay?
Good thing I don't need any water.
I thought it was a good one. Did you see the particle bounce around? I told you you shouldn't have done that.
We caught it on the V-scope out here in Marin.
That wasn't funny.
That was a big spike.
All right, we can sell these. Great for science demonstrations, fairs for young people. Bring the world together.
All I was a little curious at the beginning of this hour.
Yeah, a nice tan.
Yeah, it is kind of nice.
Only
it's
one
very
spot.
Attractive. Very, very attractive.
Well, I just have one more question, and then we have to take a break here. You've both described, all six of you have described an incredible image of the universe as
accessible to us all.
Bumping into each other and laughing uproariously.
Sure.
It's a positive image.
It is. Don't you think, fellas, that the universe can be a lot of fun, especially if you make your living out of trying to explain it to people?
Well, Peter, I think that what we're seeing right here is the Dick Tracyizing.
Primary colors.
Turning science into a one-dimensional primary color-like discipline so that everyone, including the uneducated and those that are uneducated and graduating from college, can comprehend it and at parties and gatherings and in shelters talk about it and bring smiles to the faces of themselves and other people who may not even be listening.
Is that what SDI is all about, the Strategic Defense Initiative?
SDI basically was about paying for my mortgage in the hills when you get right down to it.
That's right. Nice house, too.
That's
good
SDI.
For parties.
secret, you know, we were talking here about something else. We want to bring science back to the people.
To the people.
Take a look at the level of education in America, you're really going to have to simplify science basically down to a comic strip level, and that's what we're doing here, the Funhouse Theory. We're glad the telescope is as screwed up as it is. I think it matches the feeling of the times. I mean, if it was straight on, we'd all have to straighten
out. It's too expensive to test it, let's face it.
Yeah.
You see? So in a way, we deserve this little setback.
Can we burn ants with it?
Basically, I'd like to just drop it on London. I think that would be so nice if we could just drop it on London, maybe right on Buckingham Palace.
There
you
go again.
Yeah.
You and that
George Bush's 1,000 points of light, at least out here at Hasbro, we know that those are 1,000 strategic hot targets. Maybe we could drop the telescope on one of those. Anyway, if you give us the money, we'll make the plans. That's what it says.
And if you want to know what the universe is really like, we can explain it to you, because, you know, there's a new theory every week, and we're responsible for them. Remember, yeah. It was the satellites that freed the satellites. I don't know why I said that, but that's just something came to my mind.
That's good. You know, if I could give Carl a call, GBH might be interested in something.
Yeah, if you want to know what the universe is like, watch a lot of television, especially when it's gone off the air and you're just watching the dance of atoms. I do that for hours.
You all have, I mean, you have pretty busy lifestyles. I mean, Nova is calling you all the time, National Geographic.
All the time.
We do shows like this.
Cable companies calling always, asking me to pay to watch. I mean, it's just incredible.
I work a lot with Ted Turner.
Doing...
anything you want, Space Bridge, as long as he gives me a ticket, I'm on the plane.
Well, you know, it was Turner that actually gave the color to some of those physical particles that had remained black and white for so long, thanks to his, you know, his grants into research. So
the colorization process, of course.
Yeah, we're really beholden to Ted. Well, thanks very much, John.
Well, it's been such a pleasure to have all of you here. I would like to thank all of you, thank our panel here. I don't think we've resolved anything, but we've certainly raised a lot of questions.
And we've raised the radiation level in this studio, I think, quite appreciably.
Yeah, and we're not paid, you know, to solve anything. We're paid by the month. So it doesn't matter how long it takes to find the truth, we're doing okay.
Thanks to celestial mechanic Dr. Peter Savant from the Milo Caldicott Institute for Firmament Studies in Sandusky, Ohio.
Sandusky.
Quasi-modal subatomic research comrade Adam Adamski from Moscow University in Moscow.
Я благодарю всю лучшую.
And you're going to clean this up, maybe?
You can have the broken glass as a souvenir.
Claudette Estrelle, space scientist from France. Dr. Bob Miller, chief scientist for Deep Space Studies. Dr. Sir Henry Hearn, thank you so much.
It was a pleasure.
And Hair Paperclip. I hope you come back, Hair Paperclip. We want to talk about your name a bit.
Well, I'm going to be working... I was working for the AEC, you know. Down here, that means the American Escape Committee. But we'll be talking about that later.
Thanks to all of you. Heat is supported by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts. Additional support comes from...
I used to work for them, too. Hiya! They're great.
Additional support comes from WBUR in Boston. You can send us a letter. Tell us what you think of science. Send it to Heat, care of your local national public radio station.
Jesse Helms.
Save some of those shrimp for me, all right? I mean, still to come in this hour, it's time to meet Phil Proctor and Peter Bergman. I think they've arrived.
Those shrimp look great.
This is Heat. I'm John Hockenberry.
All right, I think we're ready to begin now. Gentlemen, we are on the air now. This symposium has been put together this evening by the Biodegradable Food Council in order to better understand the problems which are facing the questions that we have to answer before time runs out, which is something that we're watching like the clock. In order to better clarify these problems among the other ones, and of course those problems which most of you face, the real bummers of your own lives, those morning pit in the stomach problems, those problems are chicken feed compared to the problems we're going to look at now. So let's take off our glasses and let's prepare to confront something square on and not four-eyed. Now, with us tonight to face it, on face it, is Chief Renee Fowler of the Chowchilla Police Department.
Hi, Peter.
Recognize the chief by the little hat he's wearing. Chief,
yes.
That's no longer an eight-cornered hat, I notice. It's a round hat.
Yes, it's what we call your gum duck hat. Yeah, it was developed by the Pittsburgh
Who did
force
that
originally.
Braid work on
The
me.
Braid work was done by my my wife.
Ah, very good.
Yes.
I understand that President Nixon?
President Nonox.
President Nonox, who has filled gas bags all over the country with...
He's a pretty big gas bag himself, Peter.
Well, it's not a political program.
Look, okay.
Setting setting the example by dressing the police in those uniforms that look like
well we thought that they
opera
were,
buffet
well I don't call it opera buffet exactly
but let's get to the point
brunch
why don't we get let me introduce the next of the
they're Mother Hubbards we called them you know and we thought here. If we got the policemen the your peace officers mm-hmm. looking a little bit more like old ladies that perhaps people wouldn't hit them so
I
often
I understand we'll get back to that. Also discuss some other interesting
facts. Because there's no dope in
but Chuck. First, let's go on to Mario Estonato.
Si, como no.
Yes. Doesn't say that here, Mario. Author of
that's
drugs.
My middle initial is C.
Mm-hmm. Con huevos! Author of this book, Drugs Don't Do Nothing to Me. I haven't read this yet. This is a...
That drugs don't do nothing to me.
The Ediciones Mota, Mexico.
Si.
And, Mario, we'll get into this later, and we certainly hope you'll get into it, because
yeah,
we want to get...
Yeah, I'm going
to
get into it. I've been into it already,
good.
So I can get into it now,
good.
You know?
We want everyone to get into it.
Sure.
Formerly director of the experiment...
I'm up to my hips.
I know, Chief. That's a very nice belt, too.
Thank you.
ALTO project, A-L-T-O. ALTO, that means stop, doesn't it, Doctor?
Well, it means stop. It also means in Spanish, hi. It has two meanings.
Oh, it's hello. ALTO.
No. It's high. It's in high up in the mountains, which is where the place was that we was working on this nude sleep therapy.
Nude sleep therapy.
That's right, yeah.
We certainly would like to get into that, but...
Well, we all got into that pretty good, and then it didn't pay off anymore, so...
I noticed what? Also that you were a co-owner with your brother-in-law, Emilio Zapata Bombadillo, of Ach-In, is that? Ach-In, A-A-C-H-In?
Well, we call it that to get the, that's so it'd be the first place in the phone book, you know?
Ah.
In the Monterey phone book, we got A-A-C-H, is how you say, A-A-C-H. That stands for Arriba y Adelante con Huevos.
Aha,
si.
Up and forward that's with eggs. Good.
Si.
A health food restaurant high in the Peruvian Andes.
That's right.
Well, Mario...
Also in the
Peruvian. You may have heard of my brother-in-law, Emiliano Zapata.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, he was here 2 or 3 years ago. He was doing a little act. It was
yes?
A funny act. That's how we got into natural foods, you know. He was up here. He was being... Mello Jello was his name. And he was doing a nightclub act.
Well, I'm sure that has some pertinence to what we'll talk about later.
Sure,
but first, let's look over here to my left and probably to your right there in the radio audience.
Left and right, it's all the same thing now.
Well, Peter. You just, of course, heard Congressman Bill Lazor. Bill, I have a fact sheet on you here that your...
My AA drew it up.
Yes, your men gave to me.
Are you a member of AA, too?
Yes, I am.
I've been off the wagon for 12 years. How
yes.
about...
Oh, you...
It says here, Bill, I'm sure your constituents know this already. Your born name was William Matchlock Lazor.
That's me, born, just
mm-hmm.
a baby.
And you come from the 31st District in Ohio, Painesville.
That's
Painesville,
my hometown,
Ohio.
Painesville.
Well,
that's where everybody comes from.
There are some questions, some suggested questions here that your men have given me, and I will ask you some of these questions in just a minute. But first, I would also like to introduce Gary Krott.
Thank you very much.
Gary Krott is an undercover agent who is working...
No, don't tell them what I'm working for, please. That's a secret.
Well, I can't tell too much about Gary, but Gary will be talking to us in the future. And Gary...
Why is he wearing that black mask? That's what I want to know.
I am wearing the black mask, so my wife does not recognize me.
But
because
but
I've been trailing her for 3.5 years, and I think I'm going to get something on her probably next week.
No, but this is a radio. Well, I just wanted to tell him it's a radio program. He doesn't need to wear a black mask here.
You think it's a radio program? I know where the cameras are.
All right, we'll get back to that and discuss
it's a
little
suspicious.
Just a little bit later.
He might be what we call stone.
But let's
we'll
get into.
You call that stone too, Congressman?
Yes, mm-hmm. That word.
We
stone.
Found
that's
in
an Ohio expression, by the way.
You know, well, we found it in. We found it in
stone
Central California,
Ohio. Yeah.
Well, the Indians, we feel that the Indians...
Why, eh?
Did I ever get Ohio?
I don't want to leave the bio.
Ohio, is it when the Indians came there, they smoked the town after burning it, and they said, Ohio.
Have any of you ever heard of the famous catnip case?
No.
The famous what?
The famous catnip case. I thought that might be a pivotal point for us to be
that
here discussing.
That is biting cats, what?
The catnip case? I guess not. Well,
why
all
don't
right.
you run it down for us,
the
Bob?
Narcotic marijuana.
Affirmative.
Eyes are red, watery,
mm-hmm.
thirst in the mouth.
That ties in with what I think.
Person who could have distorted vision?
Yes.
His gait grows
peculiar. Have you got my glasses?
Would you close that gate?
Yes, okay.
His conditioning probably is in a depressed state, and a time of hunger does appear. Now, this
only
with a dictionary definition.
Have you heard about the depression? God, things are getting worse and worse.
All right. Chief Fowler.
Yes.
Fuller, is it? Or
Fowler.
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 What do you think about that quotation I just read?
What quotation?
What do you think, Mario?
My memory's
well, I don't know, because drugs don't do nothing to me at all. So I don't have none of
them
symptoms.
All right, Bill, let's talk about the problem as it exists today in the society, because that's where it is, isn't
that's
it?
Where it is. It's everywhere in society today. I found it, and I have to tell you what it is. Drugs.
All
drugs.
Right.
I found them everywhere.
May I interject a question here, please?
Please.
For the congressman. Congressman Laser, Bill.
Yes.
In Chowchilla, as you know, the local law enforcement officer has a great deal of trouble. In fact, most of his work is taken up with actually searching out the drugs, or drugs as you call them. We would certainly be interested in the Central California greater police
dope
department
ring.
And dope ring. Yeah. Exactly where in the environs of California specifically you found the drugs or dopo?
Well, you see this map here on the wall that I am the youngest surviving member of the Thresher subcommittee, and we're trying to get to the bottom of this question.
I think you're down there, Bill.
I think we're down there.
Take a look at this map on the wall.
All right.
We'll take a look at where the dope is in California.
Boy, you guys got it so well organized up here.
Yeah,
nobody knows where they got it.
The biggest dope is up in Sacramento.
That's what I was going to say. The big dope.
I'm a Democrat myself.
All the dope is in Sacramento right now.
In fact, I can give you guys names, telephone numbers, facts, and figures.
Have you got the telephone number of the little blonde over there?
Yeah.
let me point back to the map. You'll notice that in the city of Los Angeles, there is virtually no dope in 1956 was a totally dope-encrusted area.
And no virtue either.
No virtue either. Los Angeles, Los Feliz Hills, Laurel Canyon, Torrance.
But Bill,
there is
no dope in this area.
Law Pointy, no dope.
Yeah, dude, this confirms our finding, Peter. We've looked,
and didn't
our patrols
anything.
From Chowchilla have had to range as far as Los Angeles, Seattle, and other major cities in search of dope. And we've had very, very bad luck the last couple of years. We understand it's something at the border.
Do you mean to say that you are sending patrols out of state?
Yes, we take our duties very seriously. We were commissioned by the people of Chowchilla to look for dope and bust these dopers. And
bust them back to Chowchilla.
That creates political problems, doesn't it, Bill?
We've found that if we cross state borders in plain cars, dressed, disguised in some way so that the police would never suspect that
you
we
wear
were police.
Masks.
No, we wear shoulder-length hair. And headbands.
Excuse me.
Mr.
The doctor has
gone to sleep.
Let me explain that Mario Estonato's state of consciousness is such that he has developed a program. Yes, he's still asleep. He's developed a program where sleep seems to be the state where his full sources come to fruition. And
you mean to tell me he's conscious right now?
Oh, he knows
he's
everything
stoned.
That's going on.
He's stoned.
When he sleeps, he gets high. When he wakes up, drugs do
you put it a lot
more
than
now, Bill,
I
Bill, Bill.
Mario?
Mario?
Oh, wake up.
What are you thinking of, Mario?
I wasn't asleep. I was closing my eyes a little bit. I was just, I can't get into it here, you know, because I got to keep my clothes on.
Oh, that's right.
This is the famous nude sleep therapy problem.
Oh, yes, that was up in the mountains up above Mexico, you know, above the city of Mexico. Yeah. We had a nice little community up there. We got together for nude sleeping. We did a lot of that. Because our philosophy was then, and I mean, some people ain't changed, but me, I changed, you know, time come along. And some people then thought, as we all thought, you know, that if you people who sleep together, they're going to not have any problems anymore, because nobody has no problems when you're asleep.
Let me ask a question.
That worked out very well for us.
Did you, as a former doper, I mean, it's written in your book, so I don't think I'm embarrassing you.
No, that's not.
As a former heavy doper.
I think they call that head.
Head. As a former head, Mario.
No, head
did
doper.
Do you find now that your new Alto nude sleep program solves problems that dope was unable to solve for you?
No, yeah. I'll tell you, when I lost interest when I lost interest in the Alto problem, you see, was in the Alto project, I should say, was the same time that I found out that drugs didn't do nothing for me. And so that's when I started to write my book.
Yes,
I
really
got something going,
you
know.
You really looked at it, and you probably had to put down some heavy changes.
I was awake for 2 or 3 hours at a time, doing nothing but writing all the time.
Well,
it was very hard.
Must have been very
hard. Tell me this, Mario. Where the dope that you gave up, where did you leave this? Do you have an address in Mexico? Where?
Where the dope? Well, it depends on what kind of dope you're interested in.
Well, what kind of dope
little,
do you have?
See, let's not get into the technical properties
all
of
right,
the dope.
All right,
because
I'm
not here to
deal
discuss
of cash
that.
With me.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Peter, for him, just so he knows. I'm going to give him my card, because I run a little import-export service.
Oh, look at that, the Ace of Wands.
That's a beautiful card. I would like to ask a question of the panel now.
Mm. Yes.
I think that we explained enough of the problem. Everyone seems to be aware that
we've hardly gotten into it.
Well,
Peter.
Yes, I understand that, but
How about youth?
The time is a problem. No, we do have to hurry along, so let's...
Yes.
Let's
fire into our basket. Peter. Get Phil out as quickly as we can.
I put it
now.
We heard.
I have heard that young people in schools these days are looking for more and better reasons to use dope. This seems to be a major problem among the dope users. In other words, the Vietnam War doesn't seem to be significant anymore. I mean, it's been going on for such a long time, it's becoming like, you know,
the Vietnam what? I'm in Congress, and I'd like to know about everything that's happening.
Vietnam
so just
War,
tell me.
Senator.
The Vietnam War?
Yes. The confrontation in the Middle East.
Wow. Smoke one joint of what we call GG, or good grass.
Yes.
And you just get out of touch with everything. That's why we're trying to keep it
illegal. That's right. That's right.
Where do you find this particular type of grass, as you call it,
Here in my pocket.
In your... Oh,
no,
you have a sample
the
right there.
A little schnifter, as we call it, in Ohio. Can I give you the history of this grass?
Yeah, please.
Can I? Because... I don't smoke it. I just carry it with me to show to people.
In order to warn students of the dangers of...
This is the first OZ, or Oz, as they're called, where I got this, of grass that I ever coped with. I was in the woman's
room. Oh, excuse me.
Excuse me, please.
That's what you are, ain't it?
Yeah, I was in the woman's room.
I'll tell you a joke after one.
Of the Second Prudential Church on the campus of Greer Garson College, which is my alma mater in North Harrod, Ohio.
Excuse me, I'm going to the bathroom.
Yes.
And the
cue up a record while you're
students were occupying the church along with other buildings, looking for reality. And I met a very young, a very interesting young man named Mautzi Capstein, and he was a redhead with a heart of gold. And the key to his heart was there on the bathroom sink.
Was it a full key?
It was a full key.
Would
you in C minor?
Right on.
C minor, right on.
Was you in college when this happened?
I was what was known as a PP fellow. That's Ronald PP, who was the Secretary of the Interior under Taft. Being under Taft was a very heavy thing because he weighed over 300 pounds. And 300 pounds of Taft today in my hometown is going for 200, sometimes 200 a quarter of...
That's inflation.
What is that? That's a saltwater
Taft? This grass is from China. That's what I wanted to
Chinese
tell you.
Chinese grass?
This is
Why,
Chinese
this is
grass.
Can I take a look at that, Congressman?
Yeah, take a look at that.
Thank
you know
you.
What that's called?
My fingers feel strange already.
That's
I guess I better
Chinese
hold it by the
Homer.
Ends here. This is Chinese Homer,
yes,
eh?
And this is
We've
this
heard rumors of this as far away as Chowchilla.
Well, I have...
This is just a demonstration model, isn't it? I notice it's...
I understand that one sniff, just sniffing the outside of this...
Oh, let me check that out, then.
Puts
if
you
that's,
on the floor.
That's what it is, I'm going to take a... No, it's still okay. Don't
no,
do nothing to me. Don't
that's
do anything.
The famous Chinese
you know,
squeaking
I,
grass.
I could smoke this entire... lid of, what is this? What do you call this?
Chinese Homer.
No, it's a muggle. I could smoke this muggle of this Chinese grass, and it would do nothing to me.
Real George.
I certainly think that we ought to take this moment to take the law enforcement officer's point of view.
Here,
children,
you can have it back.
Thank you.
Really.
Children shouldn't smoke anything like this. They shouldn't take any drugs at all, as far as we in the police department are concerned.
Have you ever tasted it?
This Chinese Homer grass? No, I haven't. We usually pass around one of these muggles. Oh, really?
You have to burn it to see it, because otherwise you'll have to open the paper.
Well, then we can all understand
out.
How
we
it smells.
Take a look at it, right?
And,
All right, now... Smell that. Smell that.
Oh, yeah.
Cafe.
Oh,
cafe.
Well,
like that. You're back
here,
in China.
Don't breathe any of it in.
Here, let me get here. Mr. Estonado, why don't you see...
Take a...
If
take
I may, if I may
okay.
just read
a
little order here for
you. Go ahead. Let him talk.
Let me give you an example of the problems that confront the hospitals today.
Vice President Allen Ginsberg says smoke every joint like it was your first.
Just a second. We have an outpatient who thinks he's an orange.
Yeah.
Every time we touch him, he squirts at us. This is a letter from one of the doctors. We just don't know how to cope with it, so we take pills and things. Now, this is from a doctor.
Thank you, pills.
And it seems to me that it expresses the problem specifically. Now,
look, the living room scene is as previous, but this time we notice the lighted large clock by the sound effects of tick-tocks.
I can see the
and
Chinese
a special effect door on the
effect,
clock face that opens to allow the cuckoo birdie presentation. An opening on the bottom of clock is marked year of AD, year of this performance. Mrs. X shall be seen looking out of the window, perimeter lighted.
I'd bring you some over there on the table.
Nightclub squirrel.
I got one of those. Oh, he's handsome as can be, but he worries me. But still I'm mad about him, and I just can't live without him. Cause he's so unusual that he drives me ba-ba-ba-da-boo.
Yes, that's been the problem that I've been faced with.
Mr. Savat, I wonder if I could ask you a question, not as a congressman, but more as an interested citizen, because I'd like to have the opportunity to be both before I go.
Well, you can be.
Mr. Savat, you're an unusual businessman. You seem to have a touch of gold in every finger in your hand, as Time magazine misquoted you in saying a couple of weeks ago. What I'm interested in mostly here on Face the Answer on the marijuana question, L. Droog, is as a businessman, as a creative businessman, what do you personally intend to do if and when marijuana becomes legal?
Well, Bill, golly, it's a tough question, a big question, a question that I don't know if I can face. At the beginning, we went through more figures, golly, than I hate to remember, and all of the girls were users. But the pill apparently doesn't affect the state of high.
No, that drug don't do nothing for me either.
Or the price level, for that matter. And
prices, right? An economic question.
Right, and we speak of the high in the business as the quick hello.
The quick hello.
In other words, the quickest return, almost like a hit. You know, tis a palpable hit, we say in the board meetings, when we see the stocks go high, go up
and high.
And that's what it's about.
Do you have any specific plans for, I hate to ask a mundane question on a spiritual show.
Don't.
But I won't. All right, go on. Have you got anything else to
yes,
say?
Yes. It seems to me, Bill, that the question of being a businessman today, for instance, is something where, like, I get high out of my pursuits as a businessman, and
I get high.
Could I have another one from your pursuit also? That was some of the best stuff I've
there. What we have to create in the market is a need for it on the part of the people. As you know, we in the advertising field try to toss a few passes now and again, and usually get tackled before we're down under through the third hole, and we try to walk over the water traps. Now, I know that this sort of thinking is not the easiest thing for people to understand who are not up or down or in the middle or hanging on the flagpole and dripping down the side. But we get through with it, and it turns us on, if you know that phrase. We created that phrase about 5 years ago. Turns us on, turn it on. It was an electrical phrase which sold a lot of things to people. Well, a lot of things were sold. And now we want to sell something a little differently. We don't, with cigarettes and all the other bummers, killing people and all this stuff, but we want to change that effect a little bit. We want to sell a little more
positively. Bill, and as the old stoners say, don't bogart that idea.
Right.
Just your mind.
We have a campaign.
I saw your campaign in Gaul, by the way. It was beautiful.
We are creating a campaign based on essentially
February issue.
That's right.
We got it down.
I know, no February issue for your wife because of the pill, I heard.
Does do something to her, though.
Yeah, it sure does.
Golly, why don't you get on with it?
Oh, yes. Well, we ran a dog test, a futility test, and a balloon test on this idea.
You did?
The dogs gave up and have been locked into a balloon, which is filled with the stuff, and they're getting a reaction to it now. We'll find out if any of them die.
We don't think
any of them will. We hope that when they don't, that we'll then be able to go ahead with this campaign and get it through, because we're trying to bring the kids to think about the Great Depression. We want them to think about the past and times were hard.
We want to keep them down.
We want them to feel
talk
down.
Talk about down. Can I read you a letter, please, that I got?
The Great Depression, that's the main campaign. That's what we're pushing through, and we're going to try to get everybody to think about it and talk about it and be it, and eventually then they will have to use it because they'll be so depressed.
So down. So talk
something, right?
Mm-hmm. Here's a letter from one of my constituents.
This is from Hiram, Ohio. It says, Dear Bill, Madge Anderson scored a half pound of pot from the golf pro at Bob's Club. And when we got home, well, it was 27 grams under, moist, full of stones, and smelled like gallo. What about us consumers at home, huh? Love, Judy.
Well, you got a big area of concern in your hometown.
That's, an interesting point.
You letter here,
Peter,
that I have, too, that seems to fit into that. But first I'd like to
Chief
ask
Fowler,
the chief
a question. Would you put that rubber gun away, please?
Chief?
Oh, of course. I'm sorry. We only carry rubber guns, you know. We wouldn't want to hurt anybody.
Chief? In interviewing a subject, permitting him to talk lengthily without a suspect, permitting him considered
Would you go a little more slowly, please?
All right. Considered A.
Yes, A.
Good, because suspect tends to lose track of his story details.
Uh-huh.
B. Poor, because suspect can develop plausible story.
Uh-huh.
C. Poor, because time is lost getting reports to headquarters. Or D. Good, because the officer's partner can have additional time for prior convictions and other information about the suspect.
Mm-hmm. I'd agree. Yes.
Thank you, Chief.
I look at it the same way. Mario, can I ask you a question over here? You've been sitting here kind of asleep. It looks like asleep. I know you're just
meditating. George, Senator, anything you want to...
Well,
you are a senator?
What, yes, I'm a senator.
Senator.
I'm a senator, indeed, yes. Bill Lazor is the name.
How do you do? It's nice to meet
you. Vote for me
is
a vote for posterity.
Well, I can't vote for you because I'm a native of someplace else.
You are.
Yeah, I don't vote here.
You don't vote?
No, I don't vote at all.
Well, you know, I found that most users of drugs don't vote.
No, I'm no longer any juicer.
You're not a juicer?
No,
juicers, they vote if they can get up on voting day.
I mean juicer.
Juicers have been voting in our country.
Well, there must be some confusion, so go ahead and ask me your question.
Well,
we've looked in polling places all over this state and haven't found any dope. I think he's correct.
Yeah, I think he is, too. I think he's right. As you know, Mr. Estonadel has been working with me in the Federal Bureau of Marijuana's Dozier Botanical Gardens in Washington, where we've been growing literally thousands and thousands.
I never saw you there.
Never saw me there.
No, I never saw you there.
Well, I have to keep my distance, you understand. I'm spending most of my time traveling around the world looking
for dope. Well, I've been spending a lot of time out in the field, so maybe I don't see what's going on.
I wonder if that's the same field as the advertising man was in.
No, he's in the same field I am.
He's in the same field here, but it doesn't do anything to you at all.
Oh, no, that's why I can approach the racing of all the different kinds of drugs. I can approach that with complete objectivity because I don't have, they don't get me high, you know. They don't do nothing to me.
Well,
they don't do nothing to you.
My new book. Yeah, they don't do nothing to you, but they're doing something to youths around this country. Chief Fowler,
It's
been your onerous duty, I suppose, to bust literally thousands and thousands of young users.
Well, under normal circumstances, that is, if I were the police chief of a bigger town than Chowchilla, California, I would say that you'd be absolutely right in that assumption. However, as under the present circumstances, Congressman, you're dead wrong. I haven't...
I may be wrong, but I'm not dead.
Well, the problem is linked to our futile attempt to find the drugs, the cocaine, your marijuana.
My marijuana, because you can't find it.
Well, in looking around for it, we've also, of course, found very few people, since we haven't found any, that have got any on them. And this is the sort of user that we're looking for. We're looking for your kind of user that's got the goods right on him, and we can get them right away from him.
Then you take it...
Well, I was just going to ask what he does with it. I've never been in a police station. I don't know. Where do you keep the...
Well, you've probably been in a police state. Yes, in fact, you're in one right now, according to my watch. It's 1985. What was your question?
I just wonder what is it that you do when you take these drugs away, do you do with it then?
We wouldn't want to cause anyone any embarrassment or trouble with a real arrest. We generally, say you've got this guy and you see him, you can usually tell they've usually got a beard or your long hair, your sideburns, or usually they got two arms, usually a couple of feet, a couple of nostrils, two eyes.
That's
you're
a
dope user. Yeah. Well, okay. Now say you see this fellow driving down the street.
On a car.
Yeah, they usually drive in these cars.
Oh, okay.
And you say he pulls into a hamburger stand, goes in to get himself a hamburger, and you
There's
pull right in alongside
trip,
him.
You
pull right in alongside him. Well, you can tell they're usually eating on these hunger trips. You know, the dope makes you hungry. Can I have some of that? And you say you got this guy, and he's ordering a hamburger. Well, you sit down next to him on the stool, and you get to know him. you get to know him, you know. You kind of strike up a conversation with him, and after a while you determine that he's a user too, and you make it known to him that you're a user, and then you try and get some of the dope away from him.
And then you bust him if he refuses.
No, you just kind of hang out. We usually try and hang with them a long time and annoy them until they give us what they've got, or some of what they've got.
Well, that's beautiful, Chief. That's just really beautiful.